This is another in a series of recordings intended to help people learn Maseches Tamid very briefly, very surface level. Read through the Masechta to help people make a Siyum in isolation on Erev Pesach. We are now on Chav Tes Amud Beis, 29b. We are about a dozen lines down. We had learned about the Ma'arachos, the wood that they arranged on the Mizbeach for the purpose of the Karban Tamid, as well as to make coals that would be used for the Ketores, for the incense. We had a side discussion about exaggeration in Chumash, in Navi, and in Mishnah, as it's used here to describe this great big pile of ash on the Mizbeach. And now we come back to talk about the wood that's being used on the Mizbeach. So we're about a dozen lines down. We had said that they didn't use olive and they didn't use grape, but other than that, they used various kinds of wood. So the Gemara asks, Hani Maitaima, why do we exclude olive wood and grapevines? Rav Papa Amar, Mishum Dekatri. Rav Papa says, Mishum Dekatri, because it is katri or katiri, and you have to ask, what does that mean? And there are two possible explanations. One is that it's about knots in the wood, and that's something we're going to see very clearly through it. Katri, like kesher, we're going to see that carry through in the Gemara, but also katri means smoke. There seems to be some sort of pun going on here, but the point is that when there are knots in the wood doesn't dry out properly, it's a little wet, and potentially that generates smoke, and it doesn't burn well, and that's considered bad. Even though we like having smoke when it comes to the Ketores, we don't like having smoke on the main Mizbeach. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Mishum Yishuv De'Eretz Yisrael. Rav Acha bar Yaakov gives a different explanation. He says it's about settling the land of Israel. You don't want people to use the olive wood, olive trees, as well as grapevines for the Mizbeach, because you want to have more olive oil, you want to have more wine available. The Perush, the commentary on the side of the page, suggests that it's actually that everybody agrees with Rav Papa about the concern for smoke. And then, in addition to that, Rav Acha bar Yaakov has a second factor, but it's not as though they're mutually exclusive. It's a second concern. So the Gemara challenges and says, wait a minute, Meisvei, we've learned, Alaitzim Asher Al Ha'esh, the Torah says that you're supposed to put the Karban Tamid on the wood that is on the fire, Eitzim HaNitochim Liyos Esh, you're supposed to use wood that will disintegrate to become fire. Umayniyu, what wood disintegrates? Well, Dogre Shifud, some kind of spiky, sharp reeds, or thin branches, is what you're using here. Those are considered ideal. To low country, they don't generate smoke, or they don't have knots, which would then lead to smoke. Va'azli mikter mitocho, it doesn't have these knots, and therefore, because it doesn't have knots on the inside, the knots are only superficial, therefore you won't have any problems using this wood. That's the beginning, but that's not really where our problem comes in this source. The source continues to say, you're telling me that all types of wood could be used? Hein, yes, kol ha'itzim k'sherin, yes, all of them are good. Chutz min zayis v'gefen, except for olive and grape. Avol be'elu ha'yiragilin, but these were the standard ones they used. B'mor b'yoshal te'ena, the fig branches, v'shalei goz, and of nut trees, v'shalei shemen, the oil wood, all of which we've discussed before. And then you get Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer Mosif, Rabbi Eliezer added to disqualify afshel mayish v'shel alon, v'shel dega, v'shel charuv, v'shel shikma. So he adds a bunch of other types of wood that we are not going to use. Mayish, the rush on the side of the page, associates with the Dudaim, going all the way back to the story with Rachel, Leah, and Reuven. Alon is some kind of an oak tree. Dekel is a palm tree, and this can be the very important palm tree for our discussion, as well as carob and shikma, which is a tree that does not produce fruit. End of quote. So it's actually the dekel, the palm tree, that we seize upon here. Rabbi Eliezer says, I am disqualifying date palms, implying that the Tanakhama believes that you do use date palms. So he says, Bishlam alaman damar mishum tekatri ba'kamiflagi. If you can tell me the issue is the smoke generation and the knots, so I understand there's a machlokas, Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer, about which wood we will accept and which we will disqualify. Demar savar afagav de lo katri mi gavoi, kevin de katri mi baroi lo maisinan. One view is that even though it doesn't have the knots, and this is how you know that katri is really about knots, because otherwise the rest of the line won't make sense. One view is that even though the knots don't penetrate all the way to the inside, since there's knots on the outside, we won't use it. That's one view. Umar Saver, and the other one says, no, Kim de lo katri mi gavoi, abagavta mi baroi, katri mi sinon. So one says, we're not supposed to use the wood even if it has knots only on the outside, and the other one says, no, we can use it since it doesn't have the knots that go all the way to the inside. So the idea is that this is a debate about whether you could use dekel or any other kind of wood if it has knots that are only external. El lamando mishum yishuv de Eretz Yisrael. However, if you take the view that the concern that we have is about settling Israel, he says, I don't understand. If you're using a date palm, we don't need dates for the land of Israel. Isn't there a concern there that you're getting rid of fruit trees by using them for the Mizbeach? That should be a concern for everybody. If you really believe that that's a factor, right? If you believe that the knots in the wood are the factors, there's a debate as to what the knots, what's considered a problematic knot. And it's possible to exclude the palm tree. The palm tree is not a concern. But once you throw on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, I don't understand why anybody would be okay using the date palms. Omar Loch, to which he responds, Willi Tameich, well, wait a minute, you have bigger problems if you're asking that question. Te'ena lesbe mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, what about the fig trees? Ella ma'is loch lememar, what's your answer going to be? Beteina de la vida pera, clearly the fig tree that they're using for the Mizbeach is a fig tree that doesn't produce fruit. Dekelami bedelo avid peri. And the same answer will apply regarding the date palm. We're talking about a palm tree that does not produce fruit. Umi ika te'ena de la avda pera? Really? Do we have palm trees like that that don't produce fruit? And the answer is, yes, if you do surgery on it. Kidder Rochba, like Rochba's prescription. The Amar Rochba, Rochba said, Maisi te'eni chivarta. He says, what you do is you bring wood, tree, really it's from a tree, from a fig tree, that produces white figs. And the parish, the commentary on the side, explains these are bad figs. They're not figs that you would want to use. You don't want your fig tree to be producing them. So what you do is you take a tree that was producing white figs, and now to the top of Lamed Amud Aleph, now 38, V'shayfi lehu b'chavla ditzavsa, and you take a rope, and specifically a rope made of bark, disarich alei bizra, with rough cutting surfaces on it. You want to use a very coarse, like sandpaper type rope, and use it to rub this wood from the tree that's producing white figs. And you want to then embed that in the soil in a place that's really, really wet. A place where the river or the sea washes up, like, soil, silt, that kind of thing washes up there. The point isn't the silt per se, the point is the moisture. And that is, the idea here is that you've now rubbed off the bark. You've made the wood very vulnerable, and therefore it needs to be embedded in a very moist environment and a very protected environment so that it doesn't dry out. Kora avda, peri lo avda. And at that point, it will not produce fruit, it will only produce wood, which you can use for beams. Utzlas brichi minayhu, lo machazgalahu gamla. And you want to know how good that wood is? This is really great wood. It's exactly what you'd want to use if you're building a bridge. A camel would not be able to hold three pieces of wood from this tree produces. That's how strong the wood will be. So Rachba's prescription for strong wood is also the way to generate a tree that isn't going to produce fruit. I haven't experimented with this, nor did I look into the botany of this to understand what exactly this is doing to prevent production of fruit. Is it just that it's weakening the tree? Is something else happening? Presumably this came about by observation. They knew that this would work. I don't know the science behind it. Okay, we're on the fourth or fifth line on Lamed Amud Aleph. Sider es hamaracha hagedola. Going back to the Mishnah, just a brief note. We had talked about arranging the wood on the Mizbeach, and we had said that when you set up the wood for the carbon tamid, you piled it up and you left a window open, a chazis, open to the east. I noted one other way to explain the word chazis. Here the Gemara really seems to be going with the idea that the chazis is indeed a window. So my time of the Gemara wants to know, why are you leaving this window? Rav Huna ver Chizda have debate. Chad amar kadesh shtei ruach nasheves ba. One says it's because you want the wind coming in from the east, where you have an entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. You want the wind to blow in there and it'll properly ventilate the fire. V'chad amar kadesh shei who matzisin es ha'alisa misham, and the other one says, no, it's that you can introduce the piece of wood there that you use to ignite this fire. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Meisvei, Rabba Chaya Bahen Bein HaGezirin Shayu Matzisin Asalis HaMisham. We already learned that you've left space in between the pieces of wood for them to be lit. Amar Lach, Mekomos, Mekomos Avdi, to which the answer is, yeah, we have multiple spots where we would put that in, and this was one of those spots. Okay, Hanulach Ra'u Echav, that concludes the second parak. That brings us to the third parak. The third parak is actually all Mishnah. And much of it is found in Maseches Yuma. So, Amar Lehen HaMamuna, we've now set up the wood on the Mizbeach, and now it's time to go, as we said in the previous Mishnah, to the Lishkas HaGazis, the room where we're going to do the rest of the lotteries, or more of the lotteries, for service for that day. Amar Lehen HaMamuna. So the designee would say to the Kohanim who were assembled, Bova Hafisu, let's do another lottery. Miha Shochet, who's going to shech the karma tamed? Miha Zorek, who is going to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach? Miha Dashin Mizbeach HaPnimi, who is going to clean off the inner Mizbeach, which has that's where you bring the Ketores, who's going to clean the ashes from there? Miha Dashin is HaMenorah, who's going to clean the ashes from the Menorah? Miha Malah Evarim Lekevesh, who is it who's going to bring the parts of the karma tamed up to the ramp? And there are a lot of different roles, because there are a lot of different parts. Although the Kohen Gadol could jump in and say, I'm doing all of it, here are the different parts that have to go up. Harosh, the head, V'aregel shel yamin, as well as the right regel. And when we talk about regel with an animal, we mean the rear leg. So the right rear leg. Ushtei ha-yadayim, the two forelegs, they're called yadayim. Ha-oke, it's the back. V'aregel shel smol, and then the rear left leg. Hechazeh, the chest of the animal, the hagera, which is towards the neck. Ushtei defanos, the two sides of the animal, hakravayim, the innards, vasoles, vachavitin, vahayayin, along with the animal, you had flour, you also had chavitin, the cakes that we actually have mentioned already once before, and yayin, wine. Hefisu, so they did a lottery. Zacha, misha, zacha, whoever got the rolls. Amar lahen, and then they were now ready to get started. So he would say to them, Tzu'u uru'u migiyaz man hashchita, or amar lahen hamamuna. The designee would say, go see if the time has come for shchita. Im higia hara omer barkoi. If the time has indeed arrived, so the person who went out to look would say, barkoi, we've got light. For the next part of the Mishnah, there are two different ways you can read this. Masya ben Shmuel omer, heyer p'nei kol ha-mizracha chubichevron. Masya ben Shmuel, one way to read it, is actually somebody who's disagreeing. He says, we don't want it just to be light outside. We want it to be so light that it's light in the sky all the way to Hebron. There are all sorts of nice drushos on the association with Hebron. In particular, we're just doing a straight read. Behu Omer Hain, and the response would come in saying, yes. The other way to read this Mishnah is to say that Masya ben Shmuel was actually somebody who was there at the time, and this was part of the dialogue. They would say, go see if it's light. Haro Omer Barkoi says it is light, and then Masya ben Shmuel is the one who is in charge of the pious. He's in charge of the lottery, and he actually said, is it light all the way to Hebron? And the answer came back, yes. Now it's time for us to bring the carbon tamid. So Omar lehen tzu v'haviu, and then if you see in the parenthesis, we actually removed the next words. These words do not appear in the standard Mishnah text that we have. So tzu v'haviu tzlami lishkas hatzlaim. He would say, go bring a sheep from lishkas hatzlaim, which is the space where they indeed store the sheep. Remember that, like with the Korban Pesach, you keep the Korban Tamid there 4 days in advance. Korban Pesach is Yud Nisan until Yudalid. So for 4 days in advance, you have the animals there for the Korban Tamid. V'harei lishkas hatzlaim nesuna b'miktsoa tzfonis ma'aravis. The room where you stored the sheep was actually in the northwest corner. If you flip back to the diagrams we've been referring to all along on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, so you see there in the diagram marked Yud Zayin, you have that space that's off to the side there on the north side of the Beis HaMikdash. We already identified there the place from which the Kohanim would go down to immerse during the night. It's called the Beis HaMokad in general, this area, because of the fire that's there, which we're going to talk about. And you can see in there also Lishkas HaTzlaim. You also have the space for the sheep. So that's where you had the sheep stored. Arba l'shachos hayusham, and there were actually four different offices that were there in that space. Achas lishkas hatzlaim, one of them the sheep. Achas lishkas hachosamos, another one with the seals. The seals are something that you would use, and they've actually been dug up. From time to time you hear about archaeologists finding them. They were pieces of pottery that were used when a person bought a karban. Generally speaking, you didn't bring your own animal to the Beis HaMikdash for a karban. You brought money with you. You didn't want to drag the animal, worry about it, get blemish and some other disqualification. So you got there, you paid money, you got a chip, and then you went to the place where the animals were, and you traded in your chip in order to get the karban. So this is where they store these seals, these chips. V'achas lishkas beis hamokad. And there was also the room with the fire. We've talked about the fire warming the floor, possibly being a source for fire also from the mizbeach. V'achas lishkas sha'otzin b'lechem aponim. And the room where they would make the lechem aponim, the showbread. Nichnasu lishkas ha'kelim. So they're done with that. Then they go into a separate room, a space where kelim were stored. You needed to store. You need a lot of closets there. You have to store the kelim for use in the avoda and the service. Hotziu misham tishim u'shlosha klei kesef u'klei zav. They took out 93 silver and gold utensils. Hishku es hatamid bekos shel zav. And they would give the tamid something to drink. They would give a water to drink from a gold vessel. The goal of giving it something to drink is to make it easier to remove the flesh, to remove the hide, I should say, afterwards. We already discussed the question of whether it was actually a gold kli or not. Is this an exaggeration? That was our guzma discussion that we had earlier. And even though it had already been checked the night before, nonetheless, you checked it again by the light of the torches there in the Beis HaMikdash in the early morning. I wonder if there's another pun intended there, Muvukar Mibo Erev, Boker and Erev. I don't know. But I think we're going to pause there.